You are now listening to the Claim It Podcast with me, your host, Trisha Huffman, your joyologist. On this podcast, whether I'm talking to someone who inspires and intrigues me or it's a solo reflection episode, my hope is for you to feel a little bit less alone on this wild and windy journey of life and of being human. I hope that by listening to my life journey, my perspectives, and my guests, that you give yourself a shit ton more compassion, open yourself up to some different perspectives, are inspired to get out of your own way, to embrace who you are, to F the shoulds, and to own your freaking life in the now, because the now is all we have. On today's episode, I get to talk to Mark Malinsky, who is the founder of Sprout Living, which is the, you know, protein blend superfood brand that has been a sponsor of this podcast for a while, because I pursued them. I tried the product and was like, please let me promote your product. I am obsessed. So it was really fun to talk to Mark and learn about him and his journey and how did he end up creating a protein powder brand and all of these other products, because I'm guessing that's not something you know, when you're in high school, you say, oh, I want to grow up and do that. So I loved hearing from him and his journey. I hope that it inspires you. And I always do this. I was going to say, here we go. Reminder to please, if you have not yet, hit the follow button, which is the subscribe button. And leave a review for the podcast. You can just say, I enjoy listening to this podcast. Don't make it too hard for yourself to leave a review so that you don't leave a review. I appreciate every single review. Even if you just hit the star buttons, reviews are something that really helps podcasts and books. Go leave one for my book if you haven't yet. F the shoulds, do the once. They really help it to become more discoverable by other people and to see, oh, people like this. Okay, maybe we'll give her another book deal. Oh, maybe we will promote this podcast. Maybe I will say yes to being a guest on this podcast. So there's so many ways reviews help. Leave a review, and here we go. Okay, so you can start even earlier than this, but I love talking about high school years and like, just like, yeah, what life was like in high school. And if you like had an idea of like, what am I going to do with my life? Like, I feel like that's like when the pressure really gets on of like, what are you doing next? Who are you going to be in this world? So like, what was life like? Did you have any idea?
Well, yeah, I guess at the time I never really thought what I would be, I would be doing what I'm doing now, but I was always a pretty hard worker. So when I was in high school, I was working odd jobs. I would work the cashier register for our school lunches. I had a job at a smoothie shop. I would do weird jobs for my friends' parents, you know, like office work, whatever. I kind of always been really into working. I don't know. I probably get that from my parents. They were always like very hard workers, like from ever since I could remember. I had a fun high school experience, but then on the side, yeah, I was just like kind of hustled all the time.
Does that, like, you said it comes from your parents, but like, was it also like in the fact of like, let me earn money, like, and gain money? Or was it not, was that not the only motivating factor of just like, you really enjoyed like maybe the satisfaction of like doing something and being paid for it, of being of service or something? Was it a bit of both, or like, no, let's earn money.
Bit of both. Yeah. I mean, I guess at the end, probably that's a big part of it. You know, my family immigrated here from Ukraine when I was 3 years old. And so I think like kind of a pretty typical immigrant story where like they came over with nothing and we got some assistance, but really, you know, not really any kind of standard of living. So yeah, they were working like babysitting, cleaning jobs, security guards, like whatever really they could get. I know my dad used to deliver pizza. So I think probably just seeing that, I think really like, so the work ethic and then also kind of like a way to make ends meet. And so maybe, yeah, like maybe the money was part of that, just seeing how like it was a struggle and now I can kind of work for myself and then this is money I can spend, you know, and kind of going into college, I think that was like very helpful.
Yeah. But yeah, it sounds like it wasn't purely financially. Like, yes, you, of course, we all like usually want more money in those years, especially with the immigrant parents growing up, I'm sure. But like, yeah, that you saw them modeling in that. So it sort of may have just been like, well, this is what you do. Great. Now that I can be in the workforce, let me join too and like show up like they are. So what, you did end up going to college?
I did. Yeah, I went to school. So I grew up in Tampa, Florida. I went to school in Tallahassee, Florida State University. And yes,
was that
like a 4-hour
something
drive from home. So I would still come back often on the weekend.
Was that something that was like your choice? Or was it just simply like, no, like this is what you do? You know, or was that from your family? Did you have an idea of what you're studying? Or was it just like, that is the next step we take? We get college degree.
Yeah, I think it just felt like it was the next step. And, you know, I think a little bit of it, like I think a big part of college for me was being independent, living on my own. And so that was like a big part of it. I knew if I had stayed home, there's so much experience that I would have missed out on. And then, yeah, when I went into school, I really didn't know what I would do. I've always been into business. I've always been into working. And so I ended up doing finance. It felt like the best general kind of subject that kind of piqued most of my interests.
And what was your college experience like? And then did you end up like pursuing finance? Like,
yeah, not really. I also had a pretty fun, like I lived with roommates. So I had a pretty fun college experience. But actually I had a business that I ran from my apartment that I started basically like the summer between high school and college. So I would just order supplements online, and then I had a website and I would advertise and sell. And so I was doing this kind of, was doing this a while ago.
What
made
you?
I remember packing orders in my apartment.
How did you even get into like supplements? Were you taking supplements? How did supplements come into your life? And then what made you want to like create this business?
Yeah. Why supplements? It's kind of really hard to remember. My brother was into like the raw food movement and he was selling things online, and it just kind of just, I don't know. It's really weird to look back and think how it happened. It just kind of circumstance, I guess, like just timing, just, I don't know, just kind of happened. But but in general, healthy living, wellness, that's something that we got from my mom. She was always very focused on us eating well and like eating organic. Like, and this is like, you know, 20, 25 years ago before it was as popular as it is now. So that was also very instilled in us. So like we had the work ethic and then this healthy living aspect. And that's kind of how it all just kind of came together. But anyway, so I was running this business out of college. It kind of gave me a lot of flexibility. Probably like didn't go to class as often as I should have, probably would have if I didn't have this business kind of running on the side. But yeah, I mean, I was doing basically customer service. I was ordering. I was doing the website. I was shipping orders. I was packing orders. So it was kind of like everything I'm doing now, but on a much smaller scale. And now I don't do everything that I used to do then. You know, like now it's a little different, but.
Yeah. Well, I want to go back further then.
Yeah.
You're talking about your brother, because you're saying your brother was like into the raw food movement. And so he was like selling stuff online. So how did he like start doing that too? Cause also like I don't know how old you are, but this seems like different than these days, like more like unusual or forward thinking than like right now. Like right now it's like, here, let me sell something on TikTok. Let me do this. Like it's like, sure, you can sell something. But I feel like whenever that was, it was probably a little bit.
Yeah. My brother started. He actually was it's weird to say now, but when he was like 13 or 14, he was a raw vegan. And he was like really into the subject. He like ate, he lived the lifestyle. And part of that is like, you know, dehydrators and blenders and all these things that you need for the lifestyle. And then he just created a little shop online and he was selling these things. This is a long time ago.
Wait, like when he was young?
I kind of followed. Yeah. Yeah. He was like, when he was 14, 15, he was catering raw vegan events.
What?
I know you should have him on the show. Yeah, really. So I think honestly, like he's like the one I kind of follow in his footsteps, you know? So
is he older?
Doing his own thing now also in the space. And like, he's a couple years older.
Okay. So yeah, so you're growing up with he's catering events and selling. Yeah, that's funny. Which, by the way, I have a dehydrator that I don't think I've used in how many years, but yet I still like won't get rid of it. I'm like, yep, someday I'm gonna get back in that, and I don't really know if I will. Like, I've been moving it around. It's like one of the only everything I really have, and like I'm someone who utilizes what I have and like let go, whatever. But that dehydrator, I'm for some reason attached to.
Oh, nostalgia. Yeah. Yeah. We used to have this stuff like humming in our house. All this equipment was there. I mean, I even remember when we were just teenagers eating durian and like, this is stuff that like this is very atypical, I feel like. So anyway, so we were like really into the movement, I think way before it really became as big as it is. And so, yeah, kind of just like he was probably like a little bit of a guide. And like, so all these things kind of came together. And so I essentially that's how I got into how professionally I got into this space. And then also just like, that's my lifestyle as well. You know, like I live that kind of lifestyle.
And then when you decided again, like what was the supplement thing? So would you buy like in bulk? And then like, how were you selling supplements online? Like, you know what I mean? Like, were you just buying, like getting a wholesale account and reselling them, or like
exactly that. Yeah.
Like, so you just started own
that and just selling on our, on
like website, but you were just reselling other brands products.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Which is like a pretty common thing now to do, maybe like on Amazon, but back then I guess Amazon was around, but not in the way that it is now. So yeah, this was just on our website, and like we would, you know, advertise on Google. So, you know, people would search for different supplements or, you know, like different functions that they were looking for. And, you know, we would pop up. Yeah. It's kind of funny to think back. I haven't thought about this in a long time, but
no,
yeah,
but and then I also too, like
post office for like 2 hours.
The advertising too. Like I still get confronted about like, I don't think I ever have made an ad for anything that I've done, to be honest. Like, cause I'm like, I get confronted about whatever. So you created a website to wholesale these other brands online of supplements. And then you also figured out how to set ads on Google. Was that something you all just like taught yourself, or like, okay, yeah, we're going to need ads. Like, you're like, yeah, just, this is just all like, where did that come from to even be like,
yeah, I guess. Yeah. Self-taught. I mean, really? Yeah. Look, you know, researching and just trying things. You know, like I think once I was in a supplement company and my brother was selling his own stuff, that's when like, even though we never really worked together, that was when like the exchange of information and like ideas and tips and tricks and stuff, we do that to this day, you know? So like that was, so I feel like we kind of like helped move each other forward in that sense. But yeah, yeah. I don't know. I honestly, like, to think back, I don't recall exactly like how all these things came to be. But yeah, I just, you know, I have memories of doing them, but like, yeah, all the details. Yeah. It's been a while. So I graduated in 2010. So, so yeah, this is like, you know, 15 years ago or so.
And so did you end up still staying? You said that like you wouldn't go to all the classes, but did you end up graduating and did you stick with the finance degree? And like, was the business profitable?
It was profitable. Yeah. But I was a teenager. I was terrible at money. You know, I just had it and I spent it. So yeah, I wasn't, you know, if I could go back, that would have been nice, and, you know, invested it or done something smart with it. But no, I mean, basically that was like, that whole experience was, I think, purely for experience. And it gave me a little bit of seed money to start, eventually to start Sprout Living. But yeah, no, it wasn't like it was profitable, but for a college student, that's a weird thing, I think.
Well, yeah, I make up that.
And I was independent at that point. I was paying.
Right. Like, I make up you weren't starting it like, this is going to be my lifetime career business that I'm building. But like, hello, how can I make money while I'm in college? So it's profitable to you. Like, great. I'm affording stuff, but not like, yeah, you're building this massive business that's like your namesake.
Right.
Or something.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But like, basically everything I did in that business is something that I use today. So it was just extremely valuable in that sense. But yeah, I did finish school. I finished with the finance degree. You know, I say I didn't go to classes as often as I should have, but like, honestly, most of my friends didn't, you know? And so I think it was just kind of the way it is. I think as long as, you know, like as, in college, as long as you are ready for the test, I think attendance isn't as critical. So, we all are living on our own now. We're out of the house. So we're just like, you know, like young, having fun. But, you know, still like, of course, studying for tests and doing papers and whatever else is needed. And then, you know, like this thing kind of took up a lot of my time, actually, because like I said, I was like answering calls all day long. I was packing orders and then I was, you know, driving to the post office and shipping stuff. So, I mean, several hours a day, every day really was like I was in this business.
And so you did graduate with the finance degree. Did you end up pursuing that at all? Or what happens after college? And like, yeah, you're running this business out of your apartment. Do you end up like moving back home? Do you move somewhere else? Do you continue with the business? What happens next?
I mean, kind of like after this experience of like, so I did all these weird jobs when I was younger and like I worked in offices and like I filed stuff away for hours in hot warehouses. So I did all, you know, I've really put in a lot of work and a lot of stuff, but I knew then when I did this, when I had this business in college, I just kind of knew then that I would just try to own a business, you know, and that was kind of always the goal. So I kind of knew at the time, like I got this education and it's pretty valuable, but kind of figured I wouldn't be working probably for anybody else. And then, yeah, so I graduated. I actually started to kind of slow down on the business that I had because it got to a point where I was selling supplements and it felt very much like people were looking for cures for things. And it got a little bit too serious. And like, for me, I just kind of like, I wanted to kind of step away from that. And that's why like what we're doing now is I think it's a lot more like lifestyle based. And that feels that I think connects with me more and not really like anything super therapeutical. And so, yeah, so like I slowly wound that business down. And then, yeah, I went to go live in Virginia for a year after school, just to kind of take some time off. And at that point, probably a year or two after, that's when like I took the idea that I had in college and then figured like, okay, let's make a business out of it. And that's where the protein stuff started.
When you said you felt like people were looking for a cure with the supplements, was that like, were you getting that sort of feedback from customers or like requests when they're like talking to you? Or was that just what you started to feel like that the supplement area was? Like, what made you feel like, oh, okay.
Well, because I was so tied into the customer service, people would email and ask like, hey, does this help with this? Or can this help with this? And it was always this like, you know, I could never say yes. So it was always just this kind of like, I had to be vague. You know, I said like, hey, we're not like, you know, we're not medically trained here. You know, like, keep in mind, I'm just a student in college. So like, these are like heavy questions from people.
Right, but
people
would be like, oh, if I get this, will this fix this? Like they wanted like, oh, I want to get the supplement. Will that like, whatever, a thing. And it's like, sure, it's likely going to help, but that's not it. It's like, there's, you know, like, well, what does your lifestyle look like? What is your health? What is your, yeah, like, yeah, I'm not your doctor. I haven't seen your chart. It's like, there's a lot more to it than like at somebody, you know, like that sort of thing. But they're just like, if I take this pill,
yeah,
and is it, am I good?
Yeah. And like what you said is like, what you said is so critical is like, I don't know, like your history. I don't know your blood work. Like all these things that I understand now, like at my age, like going to doctors and also having like, you know, like my health journey, like I understand all these things that I never really, like at the time I had no idea. Like they're just asking me questions and I just don't know the answer. And I never really thought about how actually complex it is. And so like, so it kind of just started to wear on me, like, I guess maybe a little bit emotionally, but also just like, it just became like a thing where like, I didn't know exactly what to always say. And so yeah, I just kind of knew like, okay, like I've done this for several years. Like it served this purpose. Like I just needed like a break and figure out like what I want to do next. And yeah, that was it, I guess. And then I literally just closed the website down and then sold the remaining of my inventory and that's it. And it felt like great.
And did you have like a little bit of like cushion of money to not have to immediately do something next? Or did you, and why, yeah, why Virginia? Was that like, did you know somebody there? Or, you know, were you also just two?
Oh yeah, my
I can close this up and, oh, your parents moved there. Okay. But yeah, it sounds like you, especially at that young age, it's like, I can go get a job doing whatever, like, you know, like don't need to worry about it? Or did you have like some padding?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I ended up just spending a year in my parents' basement, just kind of just, I don't know, recovering from college. You know, it's like, it's fun, but it's intense and stuff. And yeah, I had a little bit of savings. So I wasn't like, I didn't feel too much pressure to like go get a job right away. And anyway, I already knew then that like, I kind of already knew what I would do. And it was just kind of, it was a matter of like, just getting in the right headspace to do it. And so, yeah, so I just took like a year off, but I mean, I wasn't lazy. I wasn't like on the couch watching TV, you know, I was still very active and I was thinking and I was like strategizing and, you know, like learning and reading and understanding about things that would eventually, I guess, like us come into play.
So like, it sounds like you gave yourself a pause, but you like knew, okay, I know I'm going to start another business. I have an idea of what that would be. And so like, gave yourself this time to like recharge and like be more prepared for when creating this next business. And what, yeah, where did the like, where did the idea, because you said you sort of like knew what you wanted to do. And so like, yeah, creating like protein blends or something like, yeah, how did you land there?
Well, I was like a vegan vegetarian in college. So like I had stints of being vegan, like pretty hardcore. Like I even did like a raw vegan phase and then I did a vegan phase and a vegetarian phase. So I kind of bounced around a little bit just because like I like took in so much information and it's like everything I read, like it was just, it was like, there's just not, this is the best, this, you know, like, I don't know, maybe not being super, super strict is like the best in general, but like very generally speaking, this like plant-based lifestyles make the most sense. And so like, throughout this, like, you know, I was living with roommates that were very much the opposite of plant-based. And so like, it was that kind of like, you know, like I would kind of make my own food in my room and like they would do their own food in their room or like, you know, just like, you know, like eating fast food or going out, like it was, there was kind of always a mismatch. And so one of the things was for me, like we would all go work out at the school gym. And after the gym, they would all go drink their like Muscle Milk and whatever protein powders that they would have. And I was still very active. We played sports and we were working out, but I didn't drink that stuff because I saw all the crappy ingredients in it. And I just was like, I can't drink this. Like knowing what I know, or like, this doesn't feel right. I can't drink it. So I basically ordered some pea protein and some other superfoods that I was already aware of that I was already, like, I kind of already knew some of these ingredients, like some of the stuff my brother was already selling on his website. Just the stuff, like, you know, stuff would, I would order stuff and I ended up just making my own protein blend. Like much more simple than what we have now, but basically I would just drink the protein that I made. And that would just be my, like, so I would make smoothies with pea and like, I was like Yacon at the time, like Yacon root, maca was even then. It's hard to remember all the ingredients in it, but spirulina. So like just a mix of superfoods and protein. And, I never thought really at the time to like make it and sell it. I just used it for myself. But then like towards the end when college was ending and then I see like some protein products on the market and like I saw some plant-based products and I was thinking like, okay, like there aren't too many. Like I think this could be a category that like we could get into. And yeah, that was essentially how it started. Just this idea of like I drink this stuff. I'm sure there's a lot of other people that would want something as clean as what I'm making for myself. And like that kind of approach hasn't changed. I mean, like everything we make is because that's what I would want. Like, that's just like, that's what I would drink. You know, that's what I drink every day. So, and that's like that part has never changed. And I don't think it will ever change.
Hey, Trisha here, dropping in with a reminder. That hydration is really freaking important, especially during these hot summer days. Proper hydration helps regulate body temperature, keeps your joints lubricated, helps deliver nutrients to cells, keeps your organs functioning properly, improves sleep quality, cognition, mood, and honestly, so much more. But I know, I love to drink water, ice cold water in the summer. But it can get a little bit boring and tedious. That's why I love to add Sprout Living's new Color Fuel Hydration Powder. It's packed with coconut water, essential electrolytes, trace minerals, and powerful superfoods and adaptogens like lemon and baobab to support all-day hydration and provide other nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, and magnesium. It's super easy. You just put one little scoop in your water. You can shake it up, swirl it around. You can also add it to like iced teas or make like a little mocktail with it. It has a slightly sweet and lemony flavor. It's really refreshing. It's really freaking easy to drink. And it's also ultra clean, meaning it gives you the good stuff that you want. And it's not made with any gums, thickeners, sugar alcohols, all those added things. Go check out sproutliving.com. Use code CLAIMIT20 for 20% off your order while you're there. So this one, the hydration, definitely need. By the way, I'm using it a lot more in the summer. It's also great for working out. I also definitely use it in the morning if I've drank any alcohol the night before. Those are all many ways that having this extra hydration really, 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 really helps and makes me feel a lot better. And while you're over at sproutliving.com, get yourself a sampler pack of their protein blends or just go all in. I love their protein powders so freaking much. They are full of the best ingredients. It's not just protein. They have adaptogens, nootropics. They are made so mindfully and they taste so freaking good. So it makes it easy to make a smoothie and not have a zillion ingredients. It also is really easy to put a scoop in like yogurt. I've been doing that a lot in mornings. A scoop in like, I've been doing Kite Hills vegan like Greek yogurt and then some fresh berries. So good. Put a scoop in water, all the things, an easy way to add protein and all these amazing other nutrients to your body. Go check them out. Sprout Living. Use code CLAIMIT20 for 20% off sproutliving.com.
Were any of those other people like curious about what you were drinking and like your own blend or anything? Or did they like not even, they're just like, oh, Mark does his own thing. Like, I mean, I guess like, cause I already know Mark the vegan or Mark, like, were they like, just sort of like, oh, he's does his own thing.
Yeah, there was a lot. I mean, these are my best friends. So it was that sentiment, but like in a more playful kind of way, but like, yeah, like Mark is going to do his own thing. Or he's got his own lunch. He's got his own dinner kind of plans. But yeah, no, I would make smoothies for the whole household.
Okay, so they would.
So they would
be like, oh yeah, can I have some? Not like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, like pretty. Yeah, they're pretty open minded. They weren't like gross, like vegan food, you know, like not like that. But but still, like, you know, the convenience that they had is going into the store and getting a ready to drink or something, or you know, go to GNC and it's, you know, it's so cheap to get some of these protein powders. But then you look at the list of ingredients and you know, like. Like I knew because I read these books because my mom like was really into it. And like, so I just kind of already had this understanding of like what you eat is very important, you know, like what you don't eat is probably even more important. And so like, yeah, some of these kind of fillers and additives and these things, I was just like, it's just hard for me. Like even now, like, you know, just, I'm more probably relaxed than I was then, but still like, I see so many, you know, I'm a label reader. I'm like the number one label reader. I'll spend four times as long as at the store because I wish everything was already turned around when I got to the store. Like, so I didn't even have to bother turning it over, but like, it's my thing. Yeah. So like and that's why I enjoy that, you know, like, and I'm curious, but then also like, that's how I shop, you know, like I try to be pretty mindful about what I buy because I have a 4-year-old daughter. So like, you know, what I buy here, she ends up eating at some point too. So like, it's all, it just matters.
I'm assuming since you said you would make smoothies for them, like would they like enjoy them and like notice like a difference from like, oh, you know, it wasn't just like, oh, you're making one. Yeah, I'll have one too. But like, they were like, oh, I love that. Like, wow, what was in that? Like, did they have like feedback or reactions to it?
I would say probably my taste profile or my palate is a little bit different. Like I could drink spirulina in water and they probably would never do that. And so like, I've always been like this. It's like health and then flavor for me. Right.
Like
And so
I need the flavor.
Even then, like, when I would make smoothies, you need the flavor. Well, and a lot of people do. And so, and now that is a very, that's a big part. We won't sacrifice things for it, but that's a big consideration. And I like, you know, I love food and so for me, it's a big part of it now too. Like, I think before I was a lot more strict, but yeah, like I would just chew on spirulina tablets. Like, I don't know. I was okay with me. Like, you know, like it wasn't the best tasting, but I knew it was healthy. And so I just felt like it was worth it. So yeah, like my roommates, yeah, they kind of drank whatever I did. The one thing is, like, you know, I would sometimes get some pretty obscure things and they were not into it at all. Like, the one is durian. I brought durian. The whole house smelled durian. Horrible. Oh yeah, it's the best. But they would basically not let me out of my room.
I would not bring it into my, I would not bring it into my home. That's so funny though. I had like a Facebook memory or something from like yesterday of when I was in tour in Asia somewhere. And it was like I just made friends with a security guard and he brought me fresh durian. Like, yeah, it looked like I love it, but yeah, it is a unique experience. But no, I was curious because the smoothie thing, because I feel like smoothies can be like such a great way for, because again, I toured for many years, first as a sound engineer and then as a role as a joyologist. So even as like a sound engineer, I have fibromyalgia. And so I started taking care of my health like early on as a way to like, you know, they were like, here's a bunch of pills and they didn't do anything. So I was like, okay, this isn't working. Like, how can I make myself feel better? Because I actually really want to live my life. So like I focused on what I was eating and moving my body and all of these things. So I would like tour with a juicer as a sound engineer and green powders and all the things. But yeah, like when I started going on tour then and like offering these services to other people, smoothies were always the like first way. And we'd have truck drivers. So the truck drivers, you know, like drive at night. So the concert happens, you load out the gear, and then truck drivers and bus drivers are driving all night long in the dark. And so they would normally like pound caffeine drinks and stuff like that. And at the end of this like first tour that I was offering this, almost every truck driver was stopping in my dressing room for their green smoothie. Like before, at the end of the night, like before their drive, like, and it wasn't me going around being like, you need the smoothie, blah, blah, blah. What are you doing? It was just like, great. You guys are making those choices. We're making these choices. But they'd be like, why? Like, what's up with, you know, their energy? Like, why do they have so much energy and they're not having the caffeine and stuff? So I like started making green smoothies for all. And they're like, you know, they're like in their 60s. They're not well taken. They don't take very good care of themselves. And it was like just such a cool thing that I feel like smoothies, and that's why one of the reasons I love your all of the Sprout Living products, because it is like such an easy way to add in some extra nutrients, vitamins, supplements for your body, and like that then you can get to like, yeah, that's your 60-year-old truck driver or your 3-year-old kid.
Right. It's almost impossible for me to have a smoothie without like protein powder in it or something more. Like, I can't just have like almond milk, banana, and strawberries. It feel like I'm not getting enough out of it. You know, it's like, it's almost like a waste. Like, it's, there's all very, you know, healthy ingredients, but like you can just superpower it, you know? And so like, yeah, I have to add something, hemp seeds, you know, flax oil, whatever it is, you know, like spinach leaves, just something. It can't be basic for me. It's hard to make a smoothie that's just like nothing. You know,
so how did you get to, so again, so that's how you started like with the protein, you were sort of making your own blends. And then, so did you knew that was what you would do next. So how did you get started there? And then also, how did you get to like making them taste good? Because you said that wasn't an important thing for you. Like, was that feedback from someone else?
Yeah, it wasn't for me.
Even me too, people have been like, oh, you need to write a cookbook. You're such a good cook and like blah, 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 this. And I would be like, well, I love cooking, but it's more out of necessity because I love food. And I want to feel good. So then it has to taste good. Like, so I can't just be like, let me eat this with all of these great ingredients because they're good for me. Like, I know there needs to, like, we're going to need to do something to make that taste good because I love food and I love eating.
No. Yeah. I mean, I think like for me personally, like my value is, I mean, like I also enjoy food, you know? So like, yes, like I try to make everything as like taste great. But like as a business, I understand that like a lot of people have a lot of taste. It's also, the tricky thing is it's subjective. Like what I think is good is not necessarily what somebody else does. Like for a very long time, like I've kind of like, I want to keep the sweetness down, like, because that's what I like. But I'm also not eating candy. So I feel like my tolerance for sweetness is different than maybe somebody else's. But I know, like, as we try to grow the business, like, we need to kind of get to a place where as many people can consume our products, because that's the part, right? Like, we know we have a very healthy and clean product. But if it doesn't taste good, nobody will drink it. And so then there's no point. So yeah, it's funny though, because I think our product today tastes much better than it did at the beginning, but we have people now that still tell us, why did you change it? Like, it was so much better before, you know? And that just happens all the time, I guess. But, so we made, we've made a lot of, basically every 2 years or so, we just tear it down and then rebuild it and just try to make it better, you know? And it's tough because we use a lot of ingredients, not all the ingredients on their own taste good. And so we try to cover up some of the medicinal taste of things, but then we have to keep in mind that there's just a lot of limiting factors. And when we're making a product, so yeah, it's a challenge, but taste and mouthfeel are pretty critical.
That's funny. When you said mouthfeel, I was like, huh? But then I immediately knew what you meant. Cause yeah, some of them are gritty.
Yeah. But it's funny. Cause if it's too gritty, it's not good. And if it's in a weird way, I'm just going to sound weird to say, but if it's too smooth, it also feels weird. There's just kind of I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like you're actually getting anything.
Yeah, it's just I don't know, And then, because of course, if it's too smooth, then there's stuff is added to do that. And so it's this balance of keeping out the additives and some of these ingredients that we as a brand avoid, but then still making it taste good and having a nice texture when you're drinking.
So how long ago now has it been since you started Sprout Living?
It's been 10 years.
Wow. And so, you've just continued to tweak and expand and grow this whole time.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, so when it first started, it was just me. So kind of basically the same experience that I had with the supplement company in college. It was just me just answering phone calls. But now everything a little bit more advanced because I have the experience, I'm a little older, I funded the company. So kind of had a little bit kind of more refined, but still for several years, it was one of those things where I got into this loop where I was comfortable and I didn't need employees. And so it was just me trying to do all this thing, and then I would have assistance once in a while to come in because paperwork or bookkeeping kind of got out of hand and stuff. But it wasn't probably it was probably that for several years that I felt I don't really need anybody. And then all of a sudden, it's really hard to even say when or why it happened. But I was okay, we need somebody. And then we need another person. And then slowly it's I think this is the mistake I made. I think if I and you can't really you just can't know things until you've lived through them. And so this is one of those experiences where I kind of thought I could do it on my own. I could save money not hiring anybody and we'll continue to grow. But then I realized the second we hired somebody, we grew so much more than I would have been able to do on my own. And then the second person, so it's almost we kind of hire a little bit before we need the person. And they kind of it always fills up. Everyone ends up always being very busy. So really I would say, and people ask how long have you had the business? 10 years, but how long has it been a business? Probably 5 or 6. Because before that it was a hobby.
And did you stay in Virginia when you started it? Or did you move? And how did you, so was it again, just sort of you starting it from home, you making your own powders and listing it online and then using, ads to try to drive traffic or how did you start this one?
Well, so at the time I didn't, I didn't make it at home and sell it. That always felt like, I don't know, it just didn't seem right.
I don't even know if you legally can do that. You probably you probably need some sort of food quality certifications or something.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know technically maybe that I couldn't have, but I just didn't. I don't know. But I did. So, but I did find a company, it was a chocolate company in Southern California, actually. and kind of got connected, I think, through a show, and then just said that we're doing this protein thing. Like, we want to, can you guys blend it and fill it for us? And they said yes. And so they were kind of the start, you know, like the start of where we could make, like, you know, like hundreds, 500 units at a time. And then, you know, we slew, and then over time, like, of course, we outgrew them, and then we had to find another. So we've been kind of like almost like a hermit crab, like migrating from like one facility to another, like as we continue to grow. But to go back to your question, so like I started in Virginia, I took a trip to Israel. I met like a handful of people, and then I kind of was like, okay, I need to get out of Virginia. I visit a lot. So I have family in Chicago, and I visited when I was a kid. And then I asked, like, just randomly in this group chat from some of the friends in Israel, like, does anybody need a roommate? And I didn't even ask where. I just asked, like, does anybody need a roommate? Just to think, like, maybe I could go live somewhere else. And one girl said, I am looking for a roommate, actually, and I live in Chicago. And that was it. And so then I was like, perfect. Like, so and then I decided to move to Chicago, and I've been basically here the whole time. I did 2 years in Colombia in South America, where I was living with my current wife, or like my wife. I was living with who is my wife now. And so then other than that, basically I've been in Chicago the whole time. Yeah.
So got it
properly.
I understood what you meant. Your wife before you were married, or your girlfriend.
My first and only wife, yeah.
or you're foreshadowing, no, I'm just kidding. My current wife, no. I make up, so you sort of create a formula and you team up with this like factory or something, whatever. So it's like, here's my protein formula. And then they're like, you maybe even buy the ingredients, whatever. It's like it works out some sort of deal. So they are putting it into the packaging or something. And then are they also like fulfilling the orders, or did you have to, like, so you're just sort of like running it on, like, details are out of your hands, but in some ways you have to have more details that you're then organizing because they're going through other companies to like make it happen. Like when you started that.
Yeah. Like in some way, like the further it gets away from you. Yeah. Like the it becomes more of like a manager role, basically, just like, just making sure everything is on point. But so like at the beginning, the people that were making it were shipping it. So we would just, an order would come in, we would literally email them the order. They would see, like, you know, one unit of this, and then here's the address and ship it. But then as we continued to grow, that became not scalable. And so we eventually found a company that specializes in just shipping. And so we will make, so like, you know, I'll just jump forward just today for the example, but like we make a big production. We'll ship a container of finished goods, of whatever proteins, to this company. They, you know, basically inventory it all, stock it on their shelves, and then we submit orders to them, and now they ship it. So yeah, so like we don't, so
yeah,
like we, so
proper fulfillment house.
Exactly. Yeah. So like we, it's funny, like, because, and we don't actually, well, we don't really ever see the product. So like we source all the raw material. That's something that I'm like very strict about. Like, I don't, they could do it for us, but like, I know who we're buying it from and I know what we're buying. And so like, we source all the raw material, we send them the formula, we send them all of our labels and packages and, you know, scoops and whatever, and literally down to even to the box that it's packed in. And we just tell them, like, here's the formula, you know, fill it, seal it, put the lot here, put it in this bag like this or in this box. And then, you know, and then, so we pick it up and ship it to the company. So we like technically never actually see the product. And I see it because I order it and I use it. But like that process is completely like, it's just completely, it's funny. It's just all digital. For me, it's, I just see it on the computer screen. That's it. So it's kind of funny, like not being able to, but I'll visit the co-packer. One of them is here. So I'll go and I'll watch as they do a blend, you know, and like, they're just like, you know, yeah, it's intense. There's like two story blenders that they're using to blend the protein powder. It's kind of like, it's kind of amazing to see, actually.
Yeah. I mean, it's now, it's incredible that how many businesses these days are probably run that way. And I don't know if people like realize it, that it's like, you know, like, yeah, you could, obviously it's a lot more work than, yeah, you just create an idea and then like make it whatever. But like, I don't know. It's pretty cool that you could, like, you know, even it's so like scary to make something, but even people that make, I just saw somebody, but it was like a caddy for your grill or something that you just put a foil thing on to like whatever, so the like your grill caddy, whatever. And I was just like, wow, good for that person. Like you have an idea, then you like, you know, hire some people to then make the idea, and then somebody else is making the idea and fulfilling the idea. Like it's a lot of work, but just like it really just like you have an idea and you keep finding people that can go make it happen.
I mean, like, it's funny. It's like so different nowadays. Cause yeah, like you said, you can like find some random product on Alibaba, order 1,000 of them, send them directly to Amazon, hire a firm to advertise that stuff on Amazon. And then that's, you really can make a business. Like it's not,
right. It's not even your idea, like, but like, yeah.
Stuff. Yeah. And it's, you know, obviously it's, and like, and the other thing is that everything is so highly competitive. I mean, like it's hard. I think this is like, this is the hard part, is like execution is difficult, but also like figuring out what to do is very like, it's just tough because like you know, everything exists, it seems like. So, you know, like figuring out how to make that one thing better, that's definitely a challenge.
What are like, yeah, speaking to that and the fact that, yeah, there's plenty of other protein powders on the market and more that keep showing up. So what are some things that like make you keep going and keep showing up? And like, what have some highlights been perhaps that like, maybe you do come back to like, oh yeah, that, oh yeah, that.
I mean, you know, one of the things that honestly for me is like every year we go to this, there's a big expo in California and called Expo West. And basically all brands like similar to ours are there. And this is kind of the only time that we have a chance to like go and sample. So like we'll go and try all of our competitors. Like we'll do it every year. And every year it's like, in some ways it's like discouraging and motivating at the same time. It's discouraging because you see these brands are big, right? And there's a lot of them and there's new ones all the time, but it's motivating because we go and we see, and honestly, they all taste pretty bad. And like, for me, like when I'm like, I don't understand, like on, like, I know it's subjective. I totally get that. But like we even took like, cause we've never really done like a very like clear blind taste test with like, you know, even friends, but like this past expo, we took samples from some big brands. We brought them back to our booth and we had like five of our team members there, and we did a blind taste test and it was unanimous. That like, and it's like, and it's like, how is this the most popular protein brand? This doesn't even taste good. And so, yeah, so like that's motivating. So that always keeps me like, I'm like always encouraged. I'm like, I know we're making a like, cause I mean, like you said, taste is important. So like, I think we're like, you know, again, subjective, but like, I think we're like, I think the taste is pretty good. I always kind of say that like our product tastes like if you were to make it at home, right? Like if you were to bake a cookie at home from scratch, that's what our product tastes like versus like going to like a mass grocery store and buying like a cookie. And like that difference is like, I think it's part of it is because we literally do make it, and like we do formulate the products in a kitchen. We don't send this out to like a science, like to like a flavor house or to a lab. Like these are just ingredients that you could go and buy at the store. We just, you know, to the convenience, we just put them together for you, really. So yeah, that's like that part. It kind of keeps me going, like knowing that we can kind of always stay different because we just do things like in a very pure way. But yeah, it is so competitive. I feel like every day I'm on Amazon looking for protein, just kind of like, you know, looking to see what's out there. I feel like every day I see a new protein powder on the market and it blows my mind. Like how there's no space, like there's no space left. Like, and still they're coming out, you know? But yeah, like I see that. And then I look at the ingredients and they're kind of the same as the others. And so then I'm like, okay, like not really threatened. Like, I mean, I am in a way, of course, cause it's competition, but like I know that our core customer is not gonna, they're not gonna change their minds with all these other competitors, just because they're very similar.
All right. So we're going to stay hydrated this summer, right? And what are we also going to do? Take care of our skin. You know, I don't have to tell you how important sunscreen is, but I don't know if you have had such a hard time finding sunscreen for your face like I have. Well, I gotcha. Bliss Omas Photonic Light Shifting Solution. It is a broad spectrum facial sunscreen and moisturizer, is the jam. You're gonna want to go grab it
ASAP. It is clean and elegant mineral sunscreen. It's elegant mineral sunscreen of your dreams, to be honest. You can enjoy the sun every day with nutritious ingredients, no irritants, and a perfecting finish. It spreads on your skin like a dream and leaves a flawless finish. None of that, you know, like white residue. It has acne-friendly whole raw oils and intensive botanicals provide your skin a banquet of nourishment. You won't find any skin-disrupting silicones, just vitamins and antioxidants to help skin rebuild every day. What? Yes, please. Trust me, you are going to want to get this sunscreen from Blissoma if you hate the greasy and shiny finish of many sunscreens, if silicones clog your skin and cause acne breakouts for you, if you want to nourish your skin while protecting it, of course you do. You want your skin to look great even without makeup. Seriously, all of Blissoma's skincare products make my skin look and feel so freaking good that I oftentimes don't even want to put on my like tinted moisturizer stuff. You also want to get their sunscreen if humid summer hair often makes you avoid wearing sunscreen and if chemical sunscreens irritate your skin and nose. Go get Blissoma's Photonic Light Shifting Solution. You're going to love it. And while you're there, get the spray deodorant. I mean, their regular deodorant is great too, but for me in the summer, spray deodorant is so nice for the start of the day and for refreshing throughout the day. Honestly, every single one of their products that I have used is amazing, and they are the absolute real deal. It's authentic green beauty meets traditional herbal knowledge for the best of both worlds. They use cutting edge chemistry and they are putting in original recipes that offer a huge range of phytonutrients that benefit every skin need, including sensitivities. Okay, go to blissoma.com, get yourself some deodorant, get yourself some sunscreen, get yourself all the freaking products. And feel free to DM me @_TrishaHuffman. But also, if you go to blissoma.com, there's a way to like take a skin survey and fill out this form. And so they will send you an email of what products they think will be best for your skin from an actual human. Okay, go to blissoma.com.
I got to disagree that yours is like something made in your own kitchen. There's no way that I would make something that tastes that good. And if I did, it was like, it would be like me pulling my hair out. I mean, again, like that's one of the reasons I love it so much is because I used to be the same way of like, okay, here's the hemp protein and, or the pea protein or the, what did I hear was the best this week or this month to then have, but like the plain protein of like a single whatever origin. And then, okay, now, yeah, this green powder, the spirulina, and then now maca, and then I'm going to add goji berries, and I'm going to add cacao nibs, and I'm going to add, I don't even remember now. Yeah, but it was like 11 to 15 ingredients. And it hemp seeds, yeah, and it with chia seeds, and it would take so long. And then figuring out for me, because the flavor is important, the sweetness. Oh, that's too sweet. That's not sweet enough. That's too sweet. That like going like it would take so long to make a smoothie. I would get into like, okay, this is my like recipe thing. And so like your guys is every single flavor, even the like green, is it Green Kingdom? The green one?
Yeah.
Like yeah, that one, I was like, this one probably won't taste as good, right? And same, like every single one that I've tasted without, like it's usually I'm just doing something super basic, like banana, frozen spinach, water, and the protein powder, to be honest. Like that, I used to have so much more time and now I'm like, ugh, oh, forgot to feed myself. Like, so I'm doing like the most basic. And a lot of times I'm sharing that I'm running out the door with just the shaker cup, water and the two scoops. Cause again, I'm like, shit, I forgot once again to feed myself. I have fed my children and now we're out for the day and like that. And then so it's like, I'm like, it tastes so good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's really nice to hear for sure. Like, you know, we try to jam pack it. I mean, it is full of superfood. So like, I feel like the convenience of that is that you're not doing like the lacuma, the baobab, the maca, this and this, and like the spinach and the kale. So like we try to like get it all in there. But it is very, you know, like I say that anybody can make this in the kitchen, and for sure anybody can, but it is extremely, so like, you know, we're measuring like, you know, 150 milligrams of like Ceylon cinnamon or like 200 milligrams. And then we'll, then we'll make it up, right? One serving at a time, and then we'll try it. And we'll be like, not enough cinnamon. We'll remake the whole thing. Now it's 250 milligrams of saline cinnamon. So like we will go through, like in a day, we'll have like 40 servings of protein. And I got to tell you, by the end of the day, nothing tastes normal. Like, and so like, it's like a challenge. Cause like, you know, after you have 10 servings of like, you know, our vanilla lacuma, for example, that are all kind of similar, but maybe one's a little sweeter, one's a little bit more, you know, spicy or whatever. You completely can't tell the difference at some point. So like, it is very, it's tough. You know, we'll do like week long R&D sessions where we like, I mean, I would share, I don't have one, I probably have a picture somewhere, but it's like, you can imagine like 100, like just samples of ingredients and you know, like we'll have like cinnamon, but we'll have like cinnamon from three different suppliers because they're maybe a little different or this one's like this. And so like, it's like a matrix of, it's kind of intense. Like it's like hell week, honestly. It's kind of like, that's what it is. Like the R&D session is what I love the most, but it's also like hell week because there's a lot of tasting and measuring and confusion and not knowing what's better. And sometimes you start to think like, is this better? I don't know. Like, is it better? And so then, so yeah, now I do it with a partner and it helps a lot because before I was doing it alone and, you know, it was just like my feedback against myself. And then like,
yeah,
you know,
definitely want some other,
you know,
opinions. Yeah. I'll be out there.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, maybe on our next R&D session, if somehow it works out, like it would be cool for you to just to see at least, you know, like,
oh my gosh, yeah, that would intense. Be cool. Yeah.
Cause we have a lot of flavors now, you know? And so like, those are all made, all the ingredients are kind of unique in each one. Like there's some shared ingredients, but like the functional parts are different. And so like, yeah.
I was going to say, do you want to talk a little bit about the unfortunate how like ingredients aren't really regulated or, you know, how people get, how they can say like, you know, natural flavors and stuff like that. Or like, yeah, that a lot of brands are using these fillers and things like that, that we don't think of. Or, you know, you said you study the ingredient lists at the stores. And that's something too, like I have been paying attention to, especially because I stopped eating gluten in 2004, like as a way to like see if that would help my symptoms. And it did, and I never went back. But like, so I've, you know, like, yeah, I'm like used to looking at ingredients. But it's interesting because even me, I will like know a brand and then even know the product and continue buying it, or even like, oh, that brand released a new product, and not really pay attention to the ingredients because I thought I trusted them, and then be like, what's this? I just even heard something about, I won't name the brand, but my favorite like healthier candy brand, about how their ingredients are different on their own website and everywhere they sell except for Whole Foods. Because Whole Foods apparently doesn't let like a certain thing. And they're like, oh, if you buy this same brand at Whole Foods, it's going to taste different from even if you buy it on their website. And I was like, what? And I buy that brand all the time. I was like, whoa.
There's like big money at play, right? For like, these are big brands. I mean, some of these are 50, 100 million plus. So like, I think necessarily like as companies scale, then quality just kind of goes down because I said this recently, but like, you know, if you're making 1,000 units and you save $1 a unit, okay, you save $1,000, it's something, but not like, you know, life changing. But if you're making 250,000 units and you're saving $1 a unit, and so that means getting a lower quality ingredient, like, just, and it inevitably happens. So like our goal is never to do that. If we can make 250,000 units, that'd be great. But I think it is frustrating because marketing is so powerful and these companies are so good at it that they can make, you know, like natural just doesn't mean anything anymore. And, you know, just even organic, you know, like a lot of things can get passed in organic ingredients that aren't even organic. There's just like a list and you have to be within a certain percentage. And so like, it is frustrating because it's very, the hardest part is to educate for us. We're like, you know, like we're a brand. It's hard for us to like if I could just talk to everybody and like explain what I know, then that would be great. But like, we just have very limited space, you know, like we only have people's attention for a couple seconds online. So it's hard to convey all this. And like, yeah, they see a brand that's a little cheaper and, you know, sells a lot because they have a lot of ratings on Amazon. And this is natural. And so that's like enough for a lot of people, you know, and it sucks because it's like, I feel like these brands are like getting closer, right? They're like, you know, 90% of the way there, but like not all the way. And so like, for, we just try to kind of fill in that the rest of that. And so like, yeah, natural flavoring, you know, like you can get a natural berry flavor, right? And it tastes like berry. I mean, to me, it tastes fake. I just honestly, like when anything is like naturally flavored, especially protein, it always just tastes fake. It doesn't taste real. Right. And so like, another point of that is that, you know, berries have benefits. They have antioxidants and nutrients and other value. And so like for us in like our pro collagen, we use, you know, like real freeze dried organic strawberries, blueberries, pomegranate, you know, like sea buckthorn, like acerola, and others will just use a berry flavor. And so like, you know, like, and I think they're missing like the point. Like the point is that like these are like nutritional ingredients, and they're just kind of like their whole point is like just to get the flavor. And like we're trying to like straddle that line of like we want it to taste good, but we also like understand like there's value in these ingredients. So like it would be kind of, it's kind of a shame not to use like blueberries instead of use blueberry flavor. And then yeah, like the blueberry flavor doesn't contain any of that ingredient that you're actually like trying to flavor. So it's kind of weird, you know, like, I don't know, like there's stuff in my house that has natural flavoring in it. And I like hate that I have it, but like, you know, it's in some way it's like, you can't totally escape it, but like, you know, but we are a one way to escape it, I guess. And like, if you have a workout or you're like in the morning and you're like, you need to like fill up, like it makes, and you know, a lot of people drink our smoothies or our protein like twice a day, right? Like just as a meal, they'll have it maybe before a workout or after a workout, or it's like a snack or whatever it is. So like, I think like just the amount that maybe people are drinking, like then, yeah, like then at least those two times a day, you're avoiding natural flavors, you're avoiding gums, you're avoiding like other additives and fillers that are just kind of hidden behind labels and ingredients that you just like never know. So yeah, it's tough though for us because we say natural, you know, well, actually in our packaging, we say no natural flavoring. And then, so then like, you know, maybe some people think like, well then what are they flavoring with if it's not natural flavoring, but.
I make up that people would understand that. I make up the clients that would be interested in it would understand that. But yeah, I get that. No, it's an, and yeah, like no, I'm the same as
the quotes.
As like I, you know, I think it's can create like if we're so stressed about every single thing and like, you know, like, okay, like then obviously that's going to impact our health too. So it's not like you can never have anything with any, but like no process, like, it's not ideal for most people to like go raw vegan because then what, you know, whatever, because right. You don't want anything processed or anything this, like it's impossible. And well, it's not impossible, but for most of us in what we are hand, like, yeah, like it can create more stress than healing to like, be like, I can't have this because of this, but I'm the same way too. It's like, okay, but like, where can I, for the most part, get the best ingredients and the best nutrients? And it doesn't mean like that. Yeah, there's nothing in my house, especially with kids. And it's like, yeah, we're choosing the healthier options, and also, it's you're gonna be okay. Like if you
eat, it's like, you know, like my daughter won't eat something. Maybe like, you know, like maybe the natural flavoring will like kind of make her eat something. Like maybe like a gummy, like a vitamin gummy, right? Like. It has natural, like, you know, or even organic natural flavoring in it. Like, it's a small amount. Like, do I like that she's eating it? Like, I really kind of cringe that she does, but like, at least I know she's getting the vitamin. And so you kind of pick and choose your battles. And that's totally cool. And I understand. And it's in everything. And I think it's only going to be in more foods, but that's what's cool. I think that's what sets us apart, right? Like we could totally make a protein powder with natural flavoring in it. Like we could recreate basically anybody's protein. In fact, we can send our protein to a lab and ask them to make it taste like this product, and they could probably do it in a few days. But we don't, because well, one, I don't believe in that. Like, right? I just don't want those ingredients. I don't want those additives in our products. But also, then, like, we're no different than anybody else, and then we don't have a business because they're just much bigger, and they can out advertise us, right? And so, like, we need to be different. Like, it's. Like we need to from like a business point, but also from like, I don't know, just don't want to, I don't know, just like don't want to, I don't know. There's just a lot of things we don't want to use, you know, that's it really.
No, I mean, I admire that. And like I said, even though I'm not like the, like for me, I'm like, yeah, I'm not in a place where I'm like, I can commit to no natural this or no this or everything even has to be organic anymore or like whatever. And just sort of like allowed myself to be more flexible with things. But at the same time, that doesn't mean I'm going like, okay, let me have only like the things with natural flavorings or only the this or whatever. But like there's room for all of it. And then it's, but for me, like having it be in that smoothie or even when I'm drinking it just with the water, it's just like, I know I'm giving myself like the highest quality stuff right now. So like, sure, maybe later tonight I'm going to end up having some snack or we're going to eat out. And I don't know what, you know, like, well, usually at a restaurant, I guess, but yeah, you don't really know if even with the things, but you know, like, it's like, sure, I might end up having some things later that have these ingredients, but like that it's not like everything that I put in my mouth, because if that is, especially most people are choosing their protein powder of it is like a really like, I am pouring nutrients into my body right now, and that it's like for me, then I'm like, yeah, I don't want to have anything extra or that couldn't be supporting me.
Yeah. And I think people will drink protein too, like at a potentially vulnerable time, like after a workout where their body is just like craving just nutrition. And so like, yeah, then you fill it up with something good. I agree with you totally. It's just in everything, you know? So like, yeah, not everything is organic. Not everything is natural flavor free. Like, and I think that's something that I learned actually, like just kind of like throughout my whole process really. And since starting college, like raw vegan was very hard. Like I thought I was doing the right thing and I probably was eating better, but like socially it was very like stressful. Right. And so like, and like, I think just in general, like any like very strict diet, it does that. And so like, yeah, like to your point, I think probably like I probably would have been better off like not being raw vegan and like having a much more like kind of normal social part of like just like specifically that part. I mean, I had a very fine social life, but specifically related to food and like maybe going out to eat or just like even going to get a, you know, just to get something with my friends, like out to eat versus like not eating, like sitting with them, but not eating. Right. Like, and that happened often. And so, yeah, like we just try to like be an option. You can look at two protein powders. You can go to the store and see two different products and you can choose which one you want, right? Like based on the ingredients. So yeah, we're just an option. I know not everyone's going to like it, right?
No, like, I think it's like, seriously, it's such, I'm obsessed with it. And that's not even like a joke. I'm constantly like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how good this is. Oh my gosh, I can't believe how good this is. Oh my gosh, I can't believe how good this is. I've been, the last 2 days I've just been doing, and that's the thing too, like I do eat dairy, but then I also like don't eat dairy yogurt. So I'm like, I had non-dairy yogurt. Like, I'm like such a like contradictions of like what works for me. Okay. But so like non-dairy yogurt with just like a scoop of the chocolate maca protein powder mixed in and cut strawberries. So that's what I've been having for breakfast the last couple of days. And it tastes so good and it's so easy. And I'm like, look at me like getting these extra nutrients in.
Our new chocolate that we just finished is so, it's so good. What you have probably isn't, because the new stuff just came, it's just finished. Like I just got a sample of it yesterday. So yeah, you can try it. Anyway, it's similar, but it's just better. You know, like that's the thing. It's like every time it's similar, but better. Yeah, there's a lot of creative ways people eat. My wife will do a chocolate maca with a yogurt, like a Harmless Harvest maybe. And then she'll freeze it. And then it's kind of like a,
all right, I have to try that.
It's like a custard or something. I don't know. Yeah. It's like very good. Yeah. Yeah. There's just a lot of things you could do with it, but it's cool. Cause you just like, you can add like, just, yeah, like you said, like add nutrition to this or that, get a little protein, and there's a lot of other cool ingredients in the products.
All right. I'm going to get to the questions I ask everybody as we're wrapping up. What is a go-to to raise your joy levels? Maybe when you're feeling a bit off or bummed, or you want to boost your mood before a call or something.
My probably favorite thing ever is just to like headphones with music. I like electronic music, like house music, and then just go. I'm like a couple blocks from the lake. So just to go bike and then have the headphones in, and it's like, you know, like you see everything, but like you're kind of in your own world, but like everything is just, it's just so nice. So yeah, I mean, music is probably my go-to. And then specifically in that kind of, when the weather is nice, to be on a bike is amazing.
Love that. Okay. What is easiest for you is not always what is best for you. So can you think of a way to apply that to your own life where it's more like a natural way you're like this? So what is easiest for me is blank. What is best for me is blank. And it doesn't have to be harder. It's just sort of like a way you're wired or you fight yourself on.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Waking up in the morning. I mean, it's easy for me just to, you know, like like I can't sleep till 10, but like I definitely don't love waking up like before 7, even though my daughter does. So yeah, it's easy for me to sleep in and like not you know, start, but like yeah, so it's hard. So when I'm up, I'm like, yeah, it takes me a while to kind of, it takes me like a little bit to warm up.
So as easiest for you is to sleep in, when what's best for you is to get up,
wake up early and just get started. Yeah. Yeah. Cause my daughter's just running around, you know, and she's like opening the blinds and trying to get our attention. And, you know, I'm just like, so yeah, it would be, yeah. Yeah. That's hard. It's hard to get up.
That's fine. I finally, my kids are almost 5, or no, almost 6. The youngest is almost turning 6. And the older one is almost 8. And I'm at a time where I have to wake them up now. And it's like, so like weird. I'm like, wow, like we're here now.
Does that happen? Okay. I didn't know that happened.
I don't know if it happens for all kids. Cause I do have like some friends where their kids are still like early risers, but then they can become more independent. But yeah, like my kids, I have to like wake up every day for school or for summer camp.
When do they go to bed?
Oh, it depends. Between, well, things are a bit goofy with the summer, between like 8 and 9:30.
Summers are weird, yeah.
Yeah, but some, okay. Yeah. But even for the school, yeah, if they were going, even during the school year, when I was like being better about it and they'd be like, especially the youngest, be asleep by 8, then I would still have a hard time waking her up in the morning. Okay, the last question is, the name of the podcast is Claim It. What are you claiming for yourself right now?
Can you give me a past example? Just to kind of
give my I'll give a little bit more context. I'll give you some context. So the reason it's called Claim It is because I believe that we can, just as humans, we can unconsciously be like, oh, I'll be enough once I do this, or once I have this, or I'll be fulfilled or successful once I reach this or do this. Like, we're putting it outside of ourselves. And it's usually from a, like, how our life would look, you know? But I feel like if we focus how it would feel, then you can tap into it. Like, what would it feel like to be enough? What does successful feel like? What does it feel like to be fulfilled to me? Then you can actually like claim that feeling a little bit or a lot in the now, instead of like, once I do this, have this. So the idea is to claim what it is that you want to feel, own, believe about yourself in your life right now. So you can, it could even be like, I claim that, you know, I'm running an awesome business. I'm claiming expansion. I'm claiming my next chapter. People say all sorts of different things of whatever comes to you, but just like what shows up when you say, you'd be like, I claim ease. I claim.
Well, I don't know if this maybe doesn't fit exactly, but you know, doing like this interview is actually not something that I'm not very comfortable in these kinds of situations. And so like something that I, you know, want to claim, I don't know if this works, but just to get better at it, honestly. Like, I don't know if that means doing it more often or just, I don't know. There's like a lot I want to say. And then also it's like, you know, like, it's just, yeah, I'm like too much in my own head. Like, I don't want to say the wrong thing. And so, so I want to claim, how would I phrase it? I want to claim more comfort in these kinds of scenarios.
Yeah. And also, does that maybe mean like claim, like putting yourself out there more to like be having these sorts of like conversations, or like be like, you know, because I make up, maybe you're not as much like the face of your brand or like whatever, but to like, yeah, you know, claim like sharing my story more, sharing my passion, or like, is it that, or just like, I'm showing to say yes to more invitations.
Yeah, no, I think it's that. I think it's like seeking these opportunities for many reasons. One of them is, yeah, just building self-confidence in the conversations.
Awesome. And I feel like you did a great job. But yeah, I think with anything, it's like the more we do it, the more it becomes like second nature, and like, oh yeah, then we become more like, oh right, this is what I'm doing.
I mean, like listening to you right now, it feels like literally like you're just having it's like there's no one else at all involved. You're just having a conversation with a friend. So yeah, it's like actually like listening to you is kind of comforting to me to try to like kind of get on that level a little bit, but still it's like new. I don't know if you've done probably dozens at least of these podcasts. So like, yeah, like, yeah.
That's, yeah, cool.
I've done lots of hundreds, and but yeah, I sort of just treat it as if I'm having a conversation with a brand new friend. Like, oh, let's get into it. And oh, yeah, people are going to listen to this. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I have a feeling like if we were to like if we were to say like cut and then like, hey, this didn't record, let's redo it. I feel like, you know, like I would just already be so much better at it. So, but anyway, it was really nice. Yeah. Really nice to chat with you.
You too. Thank you so much for coming on. And thank you so much for creating your amazing products and continuing to put them out there. Because like I said, I'm seriously obsessed.
Well, thank you. That's nice to hear. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Mark. And I really hope you try Sprout Living's products. Use code CLAIMIT20 to get 20% off. That works for everything on their shop. I love every protein blend that I've tried so far. I've been trying the like Green Kingdom one lately to get extra greens in, the chocolate and vanilla. I love especially to add to what I've been doing most mornings for breakfast, which is I have like a non-dairy yogurt, mix one scoop around with like some berries. Love it. Their hydration and their immunity powders have been really helpful for me. I have the beauty one and I just have not tried it yet, but I know other people really love it. Go check out all the products, sproutliving.com. Use code CLAIMIT20 for 20% off. Leave a review for the podcast. I am so excited to be bringing you some new offerings so freaking soon. And make sure to join my Substack, trishahuffman.substack.com/subscribe.